Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Well, welcome to the Last Storyteller Podcast. I'm Jim Hurl. I'm your host. Got a special treat for you tonight. At least I hope you think it's a special treat. I'm going to do something that I haven't done in quite some time on the podcast, and that's actually to share a story with you. Now, this story is a short story, but it's one that's still in progress. And so tonight, I'm just going to do part one for you. And then you'll get to come along with me on this ride as the story progresses to the finish line. I hope it's fun for you. It is always fun for me. I want to tell you a little bit about this story, the background anyway of this story. I'd mentioned to you in an earlier podcast that a line from The Last Storyteller, where the last storyteller tells the young boy, everything has a story, and it just needs someone to tell it. Well, that's what happened this weekend. I was out working in the yard, and I looked up in the tree that's in my front yard, and it's not a real tall tree. It's about maybe 20 feet, but almost to the very top of that tree, there was a bag, a plastic bag from Target, and it had wrapped its way around some limbs, and enough of it stuck out that the wind or the breeze was blowing it back and forth, and it was just flapping up there. So I looked up at it, and I thought, how can I get that down without damaging my tree or without hurting myself? I decided to let Mother Nature take care of it, and she did. The next morning, Sunday morning, I walked out, and I looked up in the tree, and that Target bag was gone. Well, between Saturday evening, when I'd walked inside, and Sunday morning when I walked back outside, this short story came to life. It's called The Grandma Tree, and this is part one. I heard the screen door slam, followed by the sound of bare feet running across the floor. A moment later, Ellie came running into the living room. Ellie is my youngest daughter. She's 9 years old, smarter than the average preteen, basically shy and mostly reserved. Her face was bright red, and she's panting like a losing dog at Derby Lane. Ellie leans forward, placing her hands on her knees. Daddy! She manages the one word. What is it, Ellie? I'm watching the game. It's Grandma. She looks over her shoulder at the front door. She's stuck in the tree. I look at my daughter's face, waiting for her to smile or laugh or something to reveal her silly prank. But this is Ellie. She doesn't prank. Her older sister, Janice, is a prankster. Well, she was until she started dating Freddie, and now I hardly ever see her or become the victim of her shadowy pranks. Why is Grandma in the tree, Ellie? I ask her, but my eyes have returned to the game. Daddy, hurry, please. She grabs my hand to get me up off the couch, gently pulling away. In just a minute, Ellie. It's almost halftime. Daddy, she's really stuck, and up high, really high. Her voice is high, her words painted with urgency. I glance at the television. The Cowboys are on the 12-yard line and driving. The two-minute warning sounds, followed by the proverbial beer commercial. All right, let's go save Grandma, I tell my daughter with my best reassuring smile. As I step onto the porch, my smile falls away. High, really high. Ellie was right. My mother-in-law was 30 feet up in the oak tree, wedged to her underarms between two massive branches, her pale white legs, looking like enormous rows of cookie dough, were swinging back and forth, back and forth. Her feet were bare, if you overlooked the varicose vein road map wrapping around her ankles. What the? I stop myself before my daughter is further traumatized by my choice of language. How did she? Why is Grandma up in the tree? Ellie, running full speed into the backyard, either didn't hear my question or didn't have an answer. I step off the patio and follow her. She has joined Mikey, her older brother, by 2 years. Mikey is standing under the tree, his head bent back as far as his neck will permit. I look up. The orange summer dress Ethel is wearing is like a neon sign on a Texas highway in the middle of the night. My mother-in-law, the grandmother to my children, is a large woman. If I had to guess, I'd put her north of 280 pounds. A lot of cloth had gone into making that summer dress. Ethel had come down the last week before school started to spend some time with the kids. Then she decided to stay a little longer. That was 8 weeks ago, and she's still here. Now, stuck 30 feet up in the air, wedged between two branches of my once favorite tree, and wearing no underwear. I pop Mikey on the back of the head. You don't need to be looking up there, Mikey. His face turns bright red, but I witness the internal struggle the boy is having, keeping his eyes straight ahead. Why is she up there? I ask. Ellie answers. She was trying to get Perky to come down. Perky is our orange tabby, who never goes outside. Grandma's a good climber, Daddy, Ellie adds. But not a good getter-downer, Mike chimes in, before taking a quick glance up. I pull both of them away from the base of the tree before I look up again. I don't see the cat, I said, as if that mattered. She got down, Mikey said. Are you going to get Grandma down, Daddy? Ellie, we will get her down, somehow. I look up again. Ethel! Ethel! Can you hear me? I ain't dead, you moron. Inside my dark place, I begin to wonder how long I can leave her up there. Ethel, can you move? No reply. I take 2 steps closer to the tree. From inside the house, I hear the crowd cheering. Who scored? Dang it! 1 day a week, I ask for some me time. Just one half of a well-deserved weekend. Is that too much? I gotta pay, Ethel chirps from the tree. I take a step backwards. Mikey is hightailing it into the house. Perky the cat is doing figure eights between Ellie's legs, shedding orange hair all over her black leggings. A moment later, the screen door slams, and Mikey is speed racing back to me, carrying an umbrella. Here, Dad, you might need this. I laugh, but I don't take the umbrella from him. Composing myself. Ethel, you're going to have to hold it, I yell at her. For how long? There was a slight crack in her voice. A brief, oh so brief, moment of vulnerability in the Dragon Lady's demeanor. Mary Ethel Lennox is the hardest, meanest woman who will ever cross your path. Her eyes command yours, making it impossible to break away from the cold stare of her pale green eyes. Often her sentences require no more than one or two words, barked, not spoken, to make her point. Her breath perpetually carries the scent of peppermint candy, which she sucks on loudly and, I believe, deliberately. I met her just weeks before I asked my wife to marry me. Ethel stared at me with those eyes, looking me up and down like a drill sergeant inspecting a recruit. And then, turning to my soon-to-be fiancée, she said, in front of me, mind you, I think you can do better. But Ethel's not all bad. She does love our children. Loves them enough to climb up in a damn tree to fetch a cat. I don't know how long, Ethel, I answer. Well, I can't hold it, she barks. You're just gonna have to, I almost said before checking myself. Yo, Jimmy boy, what's going on? It was my neighbor, head and shoulders peeking over the fence. Putting some burgers on the grill over here, he tells me. I thought you'd be watching the game. What an ending to the first half. Did you see that catch on fuck? Seeing the kids, he doesn't finish his sentence. Hey, I saw that weather balloon in your tree. Came over to see what was going on. I shake my head, eyebrows raised. Don't. I can hear you, you fucking moron. I'm not a weather balloon. The presence of my children doesn't bother Ethel the Dragon Lennox. Holy shit, Ed whispers. Is that? Yes, I answer. What are you going to do, man? How are you going to get her out of that tree? I look up at Ethel. She had crossed her ankles, her legs still swinging back and forth. I don't know, I tell him. Do you have a ladder? Not one that'll reach that high. Besides, you'll never get a ladder between all those branches. He glances up at the tree again. She sure is moving her legs a lot. She said she has to pee. Well, at least it's number one, he laughs. Still can hear. Ed and I stand there looking up at the tree. Ellie has picked up Perky and is kissing the cat on the head. Mikey had opened the umbrella and is spinning it like a top on the ground. The attention span of my children is typical. Grandma's woes have been replaced by a cat and an umbrella. I guess I need to call the fire department, I tell Ed. Yeah, but don't call 911. Use the main number. They'll show up with their sirens blaring if you call 911. The whole neighborhood will be over here looking up your mother-in-law's dress. I can still fucking hear you! Damn, she's got good ears, that's for sure. Hey, I got an idea. You call the fire department. I'm going to give Merkel a call. You know, he used to work for the cable company. I bet he can run a cable into your backyard. We'll move the TV out and watch the game while we're waiting on the fire department. Really? Hell yeah! Hey, I'll bring the burgers over. Fire up your grill. We can make a day of it. I'm going to pee! Well, that's the end of part one. I hope you enjoyed it. Come back with me in a couple days. I'll have part two, part three, or maybe the finish of the story. I'm not sure. This is Jim, your host, on The Last Storyteller, and you've been listening to The Grandma Tree.